Chapter number 10, 25 through 37, we're going to stop along the way. And behold, the lawyer stood up to put him to test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? Now, I just want to, again, go back and stop. Isn't this what many people do in testing and tempting people of God? Tell me the way that I can just get to heaven, because that's all that really matters in this life, right? So here we see that for the American culture, here's what many people have fallen for. If I just say this simple prayer, then that means that I'm good to go, right? That's what we kind of go through. And so what you're going to see is not a work salvation. We don't believe that you have to change in order to be saved, but we fully believe that when Jesus saves you, something is going to change within you, all right? And so he's kind of, this lawyer's coming up, and he wants to test and tempt Jesus. So he said, what's written in the law? How do you read it? So how do you read it? How do you perceive it, right? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So we're going to get into the story that Jesus uses here in a moment, but you can see how this man is already asking questions he really doesn't want the answer to. Can I come to you this, friend? When you're coming to God and when you're coming to learn more about him, don't ask questions you really don't want the answer to. Don't waste the time of people around you. Don't try to justify and puff up yourself because you're instantly trying to find a way to get out of something. Don't waste the time of people around you. So this man, he says to Jesus, he keeps trying to find a stipulation, who is my neighbor? That's a fair question, maybe. Maybe many people think that. Like, okay, well, who's my neighbor? Who is the person that I should love as myself? Obviously, this man loved himself. He didn't have a problem with it. Jesus replied, a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. This road from Jerusalem to Jericho had caves. It was a very dangerous place to be. Many people would not travel alone. Now, by chance, just by happenstance, by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place, saw him pass by on the other side. Verse number 33. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So we find here, and this is what in life we often see. As a pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you, I see this all the time. Many times, people like to do what these first two did, which is maybe a blame game. It's somebody else's responsibility. They see a problem, and they want to pass by. Here this man has an issue. I'm going to pass by on the other side. I'm going to pass by. Just this morning when I pulled up to church, it's funny how illustrations will come into play. Next to our building, found a beer can. It's all right. In Michigan, when they open it back up, we can use the 10 cents. So whoever left it, not mad at you. I appreciate the donation. All right. My first thought was maybe some of the people had a meeting at church without me present, and this was something that they had. I don't know. But I found a beer can. The beer can was laying next to our building. Obviously, I picked up the beer can because I brought it in here. So to make matters worse, I brought it into the church house, right? But I'm using that as an illustration to see many times in life, people look at something and go, that's not my responsibility. Remember when you were in grade school and you were like, well, it's not my stuff. And the teacher tried to explain to you and your mom tried to explain to you throughout the years that Just because you didn't do it doesn't mean that you don't have to pick up the mess. Many view their life as this: it's not my problem, I didn't do it, so therefore get off my back. Maybe this priest, this Levite, did something. I'm just using some modern day terminology, okay? Maybe they went home and shared an article on Facebook about how you should avoid traveling alone on that road because you can get beat up and robbed. That would be helpful, right? That's my way of doing my part. I see this man, I need to let people know how it was not my responsibility. After all, he must have done something to deserve it. And so, therefore, I'm just going to go ahead and step back. I'm going to share something. After all, he had to do something to cause it. And these people just by chance see things. Here's the thing. Nothing in this life, I believe, happens by chance. I believe that God is working in everywhere. He's in all things. He's not sitting in heaven just wondering, you know, well, how did that guy get there? I wonder if someone's going to help him out. This priest did not just wander by chance. He comes through. And so, but this Samaritan, someone that the Jewish people looked at as, in their words, they were nasty, half-breed, just really racist type thing. When he saw who he was, he had compassion. Can I ask you a question? How hard does your heart have to be when you see somebody who is struggling and hurting to not have compassion? How sick of an individual do you have to be to see somebody down, beaten, and hurting and not care? Not care. I would say, regardless of your religious affiliation, you don't have a soul. You definitely would not have any of the shed blood of Jesus applied to your account, which I'll get here in just a moment. But he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii, some money, and gave the innkeeper, saying, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back." Think of the trust he had to have, not only to help a man he did not know, but then to say, "I'll pay somebody when I come back whatever's owed." I mean, think about that. I mean, my daughter's 12. I would not give her my wallet and say, "I trust you to do whatever you want with it." And here this guy is. He's trusting people he doesn't even know. And which of these three, so Jesus comes back to the lawyer. He says, "Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." Now, if you notice, now there could be a reasoning for this. I'm not saying whatever, but to the one who showed mercy, he didn't even say the Samaritan. He didn't even say his name. He just said the one. He's still having issues. He's still in there. And Jesus is saying to him, "You go and do. Go and do." As Christians, we are told, it's called the Great Commission, when Jesus said, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to everyone that lives," and then you don't just preach it, you teach them, you baptize them, making disciples of all nations. We find this inner working of Christianity has for somehow, some way, become a sit-on-my-butt religion. It has. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know if the church got so much money throughout the years that we thought it was okay to just sit back and do nothing, but I'm amazed at the amount of people that just in opening up a service back up again, the amount of work that it takes, I'm amazed at the amount of people that just sit back and go, "You better have it the way that I want it if you want me to show up. By the way, I'm too busy. My $10 that I sent in should cover it." When did this become a time where when we see problems, we think that we're actually accomplishing something by arguing with people online that we don't even know? When did we fall for this mindset that giving our opinion is actually action? Jesus said, I want you to go and do exactly what the Samaritan did. What did the Samaritan do? He saw the man beaten. He helped him. He healed him. He took him to the inn. He spent his own money. And to be honest, maybe the reason why we don't want to do anything anymore is because we've fallen for the myth and we think that I've worked too hard. Why would I give up of my resources to help somebody I don't even know? Does it matter why he got beat up? Did it matter who he was? Was he hanging out with the wrong crowd? Did that matter? No, it does not matter, and here's why it does not matter. It does not matter because if we see a community hurting, we are to be people that step in and have the right answers, not sit back and let man's wisdom take over. I say these things to make you think. Man's wisdom has told us to release people from prison because of a virus and then to put people into prison that don't obey the rules of the virus. I'm lost. Just 2 weeks ago, we told business owners if they opened, we would arrest them and put them in jail. And now we're telling those same business owners, we don't have enough ability to protect you. We're just going to let people ruin the business that we wouldn't let you open. Think about these things. That wisdom doesn't come from above. I don't know what I would do in certain situations, so I'm not trying to be holier than thou, but at what point do we stop making our first response when anything goes bad in America? I need to take out my phone and record something. When do we start to step in and scream as loud as we can? Enough is enough. When do we stop worrying about our brand? When do we become people that are not afraid to go and step in and speak to friends who are hurting? To my friends who are white Christians, I know we're all the same in Jesus, but please understand, we have to admit that there's some people struggling out there. Who have you talked to this week without your opinion, but you literally called and said, hey, I'm sorry that you have to go through some of these things. Is there anything I can do? And just listened. One of the men that attends our church, he drives cars for a company, and at that company, he was driving a nicer vehicle, and he was pulled over because apparently he was driving too close to another vehicle on the road, and the policeman had to pull him over. I used to work for that company. I never experienced anything like that. And can I just ask this question? What color do you think his skin was? This happened before what happened there, and I have had friends who I've talked to and called, and they've said, one of them was such a good, godly Christian guy, and he said, Nate, all we can do is pray. And I thought, man, here I am the pastor, and I'm having somebody preach to me about what we should do. But here's why he was right, because we know that prayer will eventually produce action. And we have to understand that to those who are hurting in our community, as Christians, we walk in, we don't walk out. I know it's a problem for so many. I don't say these things to brag on us. I want to, though, be honest and say this truly. I thought of this story just earlier this week with this sermon. We had someone that attended our church, the first couple that outside of the original 10 was Lonnie and Nisi. And Nisi, it was about a couple years ago, let us know that she had gotten some sort of throat cancer. We come to find out later it was esophagus cancer. And Nisi had some issues. Nisi had legitimate mental issues from way back. mixed with some bad choices along the way that she would have admitted to. And to be honest, it wasn't always she would come to church when she could, but there were some struggles. But here's the thing I'll never forget that Niecy's landlord at one point said, because towards the end of Niecy's life, as she's in the hospital with the cancer growing to the point where it's cutting off air and she can't eat, and whatever she eats goes down the wrong pipe. And if you've ever watched somebody pass from that, that's awful, and it's tough, and it is just horrible. Couldn't drink water, couldn't eat food, literally screaming out because of how dry. It was just a horrendous way to see somebody go, on top of the fact of she just didn't understand. And I remember she would give me her keys, and then we would go remove certain items from her house. And then the next day she would feel better, and she would say, "Pastor, I need my keys back. Can you put my TVs back?" And it was just a constant back and forth, and for about a month and a half, and social workers were talking to me, and, you know, and throughout her life there was a lot of people she didn't trust, and so she would trust my mom, she would trust me, and she, you know, for some reason, but as a result of that, it would always bring all of these problems because we didn't know what would come about. And it was just, I'll be honest with you, I would complain because I'm like, I can't keep doing this. I can't devote 2 hours of my day to go back and forth. And, you know, it was just a mess. But I remember when she finally passed, and I was being selfish because I didn't have to deal with what she had to deal with. But I remember the social worker actually seeing me and giving me a hug and saying that he couldn't believe what the church was doing. I remember talking to Niecy's landlord, and she said this. She goes, "I've been doing this." She was an older lady. She said, "I've been doing this for years." She goes, "I've attended multiple different churches. I have gone to, you know, dealt with a lot of things in the community." She said, "But I want to tell you something." She goes, "What you guys did and what you did," but really it was us, it wasn't me, it was on behalf of the church. She said, "You did the work of Jesus." She said, "None of these other people," she goes, "I've been around a lot of pastors in a lot of places, and nobody else wants to touch anything or ever get," here's her words, "dirty. Nobody else wants to stoop down and see blood and have to put wine on the wound and oil. Nobody else wants to take of their money and help pay for a funeral. Nobody else wants to take of their money and put it in the inn." And I'm just saying, and please don't get upset when I say some of these things, but I want you to think, just because you stood by and watched doesn't mean that you took part. And just because you attend a church where people sacrifice and you don't, doesn't mean you're sacrificing. And you have been justifying your conscience for years, saying, "I float them a couple of dollars, they do the hard work, I took part." You are no more than the overweight fan that sits in the stands with the jersey on that can't fit, screaming his head off as other people are out there sacrificing and breaking bones to make you happy and make you feel good. You're not loving your neighbor, you're passing by. You're not finding a way to learn and grow. You're not looking to the lamb. You're looking to, as we mentioned, the elephant, the donkey. You're looking to the Facebook groups. You're looking other places to justify a conscience to make you think that you're actually helping and loving your community. I serve a God who said, when you see somebody down and out, you're supposed to go and do. But I didn't cause it. Okay, I'm going to get to where Jesus is in this story for you, and I want to ask you a question. Did Jesus cause your sin? Here we are, sinners, broken people, and Jesus came down from heaven, lived the life that we were supposed to live, and then died the death that we were supposed to die when he saw these issues and problems, he saw you down and out. He came, suffered, and died . Was it his responsibility? Was it? I want to get you to think. See, if we're the people that represent Jesus, shouldn't we do what Jesus did, which is Jesus came, he pursued you and I. Jesus walked in. When other religions tell us to do, Jesus says, done. You see, the reason why he can say go and do likewise is because he came and did likewise. We were lying in a pit, dead. We could not save ourselves. The Bible talks about there's none that seek after God. There's none righteous. We're there, we're dead. Jesus comes, takes, heals, and then he says this, whatever is on their bill, you put it on my account. Whoa! So when he says to us, go and do likewise, he can do that because he's God and that's who he is. Church, it's time to learn and grow and do. It is. It's time to have our biggest numbers be in the areas of sacrifice, not necessarily even for each other, but for those around. It's time to stop blaming other people and to start taking action. It's time to stop thinking that like, share, post. This one's really going to get you. It's time to stop thinking that standing in line and voting is doing something. All things that we should do. But if the greatest deed that you do to advance God's kingdom every year is to press a vote button, I pity you. Nate, are you mad? Well, if I had a King James, I could use a different word. I'm ticked. It should not be what has happened ought to make everybody sick and upset and angry. It ought to. But at some point, the devices need to turn off. And the action needs to start. You guys know, if you've watched us for any amount of time, I have a special needs son. He's autistic. Just as I was talking earlier, you may not have been able to see it. One of our families that's here, they've got a young man. Now he's getting older. Has some special needs, not on the level of my son, but so while I'm talking, kind of the head peeks around the corner and stuff, and it's okay. It's totally fine. Can I tell you something, though, that has always, been like, really? I've been amazed at how many people, not all, okay, and if you do this, it's a good thing, but we'll share things online, like, in honor of kids with autism and ADHD and fill in the blank. Share this post and let them know that people love them. By people that don't even know a thing about my son and have every opportunity to. care for the autism community, blah, 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 as you've walked out of his life and never even said goodbye to him. And I think often, like, what is wrong with us? Where we can appease our consciences by not even doing what the Bible says to do. But it will cost me something. Yes, our salvation cost Jesus everything. You may not be able to go to Starbucks for a week. You may not be able to supersize your value meal. Don't even know if that's a thing anymore. It used to be. I don't know if that is. You may not be able to get your high, but you will be able to be the neighbor that Jesus wants you to be. Is everything that you have yours? The answer to that would be yes. Is everything that you have access to your neighbor's? I will stop with this. I was told this story. I was able to be at my grandfather's first funeral, but his second memorial service was up where he lived, and I just couldn't make it up there. We had to work, and I was not able to go, my outside job. And my grandfather had people that spoke at each one if they wanted to, and his neighbor got up at his second service, and I was told this by someone that was there, and the neighbor said, the first time I met Claire, he walked up to me and he said, I've got a big garage with a lot of tools in it. Whatever I have is yours. All you have to do is just ask. First time I met him. So the question is for us, is everything that we have ours, or if our brother and sisters are in need, do we have the ability to just stop? Do we have that ability? And to stop and take care, because that's who our neighbor is. Let's take responsibility for the world around us. Let's stop using this bad action to justify our inaction. Let's stop. Let's stop worrying about the outcome and how we appear to other people, and let's do the work of Jesus. Now, if you're watching this and you say, or listening and you say, Nate, I am that person that is broken. I'm laying there in the pit, and as you're speaking and talked about how Jesus came and healed and helped so that you could help and heal others, I need Jesus to come save and help and heal me. Here's the awesome part. Scripture is full of verses that talks about if you just believe, if you receive, confess with your mouth. Different passages throughout Scripture that as God is bringing us to this point, He did the hard part so that we could just do the easy part. Childlike faith. So if as you're watching this, maybe you've been, you thought you were a follower of Jesus and you've come to realize that you've never really had him come and heal you, not just physically, but spiritually, and change who you were, and the, you know, the wine representing the blood and the oil with the Holy Spirit. You've never had all of these things come and just change your life. I want you to reach out to us. We want to have a conversation with you that leads you to accepting Christ. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Jesus came to save everyone and everything. Yeah, but man, I even went as far as to throw something inside of a police car and catch it on fire. I got one better for you. There's a guy that wrote the whole New Testament, just about, that he actually killed Christians. You don't have to up him. I'm just saying, like, it went that, like, you know, there's some people that did some bad stuff that Jesus saved. So don't think you have to keep going to a place of debauchery, sin, confusion, anger. And if you're the type of person who, honestly, you've just sat back and stopped, you know, you just watch the news in anger, you just watch everything around you, I encourage you this: be a friend, have a conversation, stop, listen. Listening to somebody else doesn't have to change who I am. It just means that I'm willing to learn and grow. That's it. So if God is calling you, if God is working in your life, reach out to us. Pray and accept Jesus today. Call out to him. He will save you. If you have more questions, message us. Put something in the comments. For those of you who are already saved individuals, I want you to look back at your life for the past month, and I want you to see the greatest acts that you've done for your neighbor in the name of Jesus. And if it does not involve some sort of this, but if all it is, come on, let's do better. I'm not saying to do away with that. I'm just saying we don't need a manual of how to help heal somebody. We need to start healing people. We don't need a manual of how to fix the world. We're not doing a great job. We need to get down in the dirt and pick up somebody, put that bloody body on us, take them to the place of there, put some money down, help and heal and learn and grow. If Jesus can use a Samaritan as an illustration to help heal a Jewish person, then he can use you and I to reach out and be a multi-ethnic church that goes and helps and shares and doesn't let the color of a skin that we didn't even choose to begin with be the deciding factor of how we help other people. I hope and pray that we were helped to you today. I hope and pray you learned something. I hope and pray that I don't scare you away from coming next week. If I did, it's okay. So we'll be fine there. But we love you. If you have any questions, reach out. We would love to be a blessing to you. SolidRockGR.Church. SolidRockGR.Church is going to have everything that you need. All right? Just because we're not having services the past few weeks, we've been able to make it. But I will be honest with you, you're going to start seeing some things rolling out. There's some big needs that we are going to need to do to help our community, and it's going to involve us sacrificially giving. And that starts by not just sacrificially, but by just giving. And so that's something that we can do there. SolidRockGR.Church is going to have that ability. Thank you guys so much.